Okay, let's get started. Hello, you are on the sixth day of Smartest 2008 and the fourth day of our keynote presentations with Claudine Helmuth and Michael Bungie-Stanier. And can you believe it, Claudine, we only have two more days to go.
I know, it's gone so fast.
Oh, we have artists joining us from across America and the world, Canada, the Netherlands, Germany, Australia, Ireland, Mexico, Spain, the United States. I am Ariane Goodwin, your host and moderator for this one and only professional art career conference, online or off. If you want to keep up with our shenanigans, visit us at www.smartist-telesummit.com. That's S-M-Artist, A-R-T-I-S-T, dash tele, T-E-L-E, summit, S-U-M-M-I-T. Before we get going, I have a housekeeping note. I want everybody to know that if you haven't noticed, we have changed the design of our calendar, so your audio files are easier to access. Up through Wednesday, there is one file for the presentations before the break and one file for the session after the break. We're in the process of working on changing this so we have a separate audio file for each speaker. You may indeed wonder why we didn't do this in the first place. Actually, we're wondering why we didn't do this in the first place. And the answer, I think, is one every one of you will recognize. Smartest is a work in progress. So we want to heartily thank everyone who has spoken up, because Smartest will only be smarter because each one of you is willing to take your time to tell us what's working and what is not. We appreciate both. For those of you just joining us, this is day six of the Smartest Telesummit 2008, and we are going to hear two presenters with a 15-minute break in between. Well, 15-something, or maybe not quite, depending, Claudine Helmuth and Michael Bungie-Stanier. Today we begin with Claudine, who pours her whole self into everything she does. If you've had a chance to open her handout, you'll understand what I mean. Like so many of our smartest experts, she really holds nothing back. She's going to tell us reasons every artist needs a website and a blog. Welcome, Claudine.
Hello.
Claudine is a full-time artist, as well as running her own collage workshops. She has written two books, produced three instructional DVD workshops, all of which you can find on her website, collageartist.com. And for those of you who are wondering what makes a successful website work, take a look at Claudine's. Study it. She really understands how to use the web. She understands that even though what you offer the world is visual, on the web, it is all about words. Yep, folks, I hate to tell you that, but it's all about words. And it's a very simple concept. You know, when you go to type in a search term, you can't type in a picture. People's brains are oriented to finding a word to match up what they think they need. So even when they're looking at a visual image, you have to tell them what it is you want them to do, what it is you think is important that's going on. They just can't translate that for themselves. Click on her custom art link, and you will see that she does exactly what Allison was recommending yesterday. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want to challenge you to see if you can find what it is that Claudine does that Allison recommended in her speech yesterday. Okay, Claudine, I know you have more to give these artists than they could have imagined, so I'm off to listen with everyone else, and I'll be back before the end of the session. Do you want me to come a little early and try to take questions?
That would be great, yeah. If I'm wrapping up a little bit early, I would love to do some questions. I got some in my email that I'm going to touch on. Some are already in my lecture, and some I will bring up specifically. But, yeah, if I'm wrapping up early, I'd love to take some questions.
Thanks. And Claudine brings up a really important point. If you have asked a question that is fairly general and the person is going to cover it in their presentation, you're probably not going to get a direct answer back from us. You're just going to be expected to listen. So thank you, Claudine. I'll be back.
Thank you. Okay, everybody. I was telling my husband this morning that I really enjoy speaking at Smartest, but it also, when I'm giving my speech, I feel like I'm leaving a very long message on somebody's answering machine because I can't hear you guys. So I'm just going to start talking away like I do when I leave my friends a message, and hopefully I will cover everything, but I have given you a 10-page handout, which you can find on the Smartest website. So if I do not cover anything in my talk, I am sure it is in my handout. Let me tell you just a little bit about myself. Of course, my name is Claudine Helmuth, and I live in Orlando. And I got my BFA in fine art. I graduated in 1997 from the Corcoran College of Art and Design, which is right underneath the Corcoran Museum of Art in Washington, D.C., across from the White House. And I graduated with my degree in painting. So when I graduated, I didn't really know what I was going to do to actually make money. I actually had this, like, fantasy that I would be like an administrative assistant or just something, you know, not very exciting, and then I could paint in my room and put all my paintings in my closet. So I wasn't, like, very ambitious, like, getting out of college. And it was actually my mom that suggested that I take a class at that was a summer class at George Washington University, and it was on CD-ROM gaming and a website design. And what was really kind of humorous about the whole idea of me taking this class was I had not even used a computer when I signed up for this class. I'd not used a mouse. I'd not turned on a computer. I did all of my my assignments for college on a little word processor where you could only see, like, two lines of text in the window. And remember, this was 97, so it was like Windows was just out, so it wasn't, like, unheard of for people to not have their home computer. Anyway, long story short, I taught myself HTML. I don't even know how I did it. And I ended up working in website design for a few years. So I worked from 1997 to 2001 in website design, and it was a wonderful foundation for my business. I started off with a small little company where I was the only girl there, and it was a bunch of 30 and 40-something guys, and that was a tiny little company, and the internet was just starting out. It was a hot new thing. Everybody was starting online businesses, so we were really busy, and then I ended up getting laid off from there, as internet businesses happen to do often. And then I went and worked for a big company, for Cox Communications, and they had a interactive division at the time. And I did all of their city sites, so all, like the one for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and one for Orlando, and I did all the East Coast city sites. And city sites were really popular, 1998 to 2001. But the basics of me telling you this was these were all wonderful skills. I've learned so much about the internet. And even though some of my internet skills have passed me by, like now there's different coding, there's different things like that, I still know the basics of what is so important about the internet. And because of my knowledge of the internet, I started out with a little website that I probably never would have had if I hadn't taken this class and all these different events had unfolded. And everything that has happened to me has happened because of my website. My book deals, getting on Martha Stewart, that actually happened because of my blog. All these different things, my DVDs, so many things I can attribute to my web presence. Actually, nothing has happened to me because of outside of my web presence for my business. My business has completely grown. So I hope every single one of you listening to this call already has a website. Please tell me that you do. And if you don't, you will after this call. I can guarantee it. So let me get started. Okay, so first I'm going to talk about websites, which also kind of fold into blogs. And then I'm going to concentrate strictly on blogs and blogging and how even if you do not have a website and do not want to learn coding or do not want to do any of that, you can make your blog work for you as if it were a website. So keep in mind that when I do talk about some of these website things, that they do fold over into blogging. Now, in my notes, I cover all of this in detail, and I'm just going to go over it and sort of add my, like, commentary to it. But there are a lot of details in my notes. There's links and things like that. So what I'm going to do here is add little extra tidbits that are in my notes. So what you're going to need first for your website is you're going to need what's called a URL, and that's what you type in in the little web browser to get to the website. So you most commonly you would want www.yourname.com, and try for a .com. Don't do a .biz or a .net. Everybody thinks .com first, and that's what's called a top-level domain. So even if you have to like hyphenate your name or add your middle name or add studios or something like that to the end of your name to get it to register as a .com, that is so much more important because people, if you tell them your URL, they're going to automatically think that it has a .com at the end of it. And you're and if you do yourname.net or yourname.biz, they'll forget it and they'll probably type in yourname.com and they'll end up at some other artist's website, and you do not want that to happen. So try for a .com when all possible. And for me, I have two URLs. I have ClaudineHelmuth.com, and because I do not expect people to remember how to spell my name, I mean, goodness knows when I get the mail, I get Claudine Hellmouth, I get called Christine, I get called Claudia, I get called so many different things. I do not expect people to remember that. So then I also have collageartist.com, which is shorter, easier for people to remember, fits on a business card just that little bit better, but I wanted to make sure to secure myname.com. Both go to the same exact website, and this is something when you have your website that you can do with the place that you host your website. You can have your different URLs forward to your same website or blog, so that way you're not having to update all these different separate websites. I'm not going to get into all the technicalities of building a website. Those are things that you can learn through internet searches and through the help menu with where you host your website. Or if you hire a designer, they will be able to help you with all of that. But what I'm going to cover are some of what I think are the important basics. I do cover in my notes some of the places where you can get hosting for your website, and some of the places where have easy design tools for you to use. If you do not want to hire a designer, you can use websites like web.com. They have an easy-to-use interface where you can create your own website. Now, it's a little bit more expensive per month, but if you factor in having to hire a designer or somebody that can code, I think it kind of works out to six of one and half a dozen of another. Plus, you can have control of your website. So my artist friend did her entire website on web.com, and she was able to customize all kinds of things, have a shopping cart, and all kinds of wonderful things, make it look completely unique. It doesn't look like a template site, and she's been very happy with it, and she knows no HTML or anything like that. So she was very happy with her experience there. I can't speak personally for that, but she very much enjoyed it. And regardless of whether you're having a designer design your website or you're doing it yourself, and this counts for your blog too, I've kind of gone over some layout and design tips, and these are things that I think are very important because they create a first impression about you and your artwork. Website is like a brochure. Like if you get a brochure that's printed on yucky paper and it's all in black and white and it has ugly graphics on it, you're probably a lot less likely to hire that company than a company that has a nice-looking, professional, clean brochure because it's first impressions. You look at it and you think, oh, this company doesn't really have the stuff behind them because they've got this cheap-looking thing. So you want your website to look professional, clean, and set the stage for your artwork. So some of the important layout and design tips that I've talked about is you want to save the top of your pages for your most important content. So what we call is above the scroll, and in newspaper world, they call it above the fold. So you want what what you want people to notice should be above the scroll in your website. So if you're trying to sell a particular piece of art or trying to promote a gallery show or something like that, you want that to be up there where people are going to find it, because people do not spend long on websites. They jump in, they kind of poke around, and then they're back out again. So you want to catch their attention early. You don't want to make them have to work to find your important content. If you find that your pages are scrolling and scrolling and scrolling on forever, then you should divide those pages up into separate pages. The thing about the internet is it's very easy to edit your content and divide into separate pages. So you don't want your user to feel like they have to scroll forever just to see your content. You don't want to use – have you ever been to, like, a website where they have, like, a dark blue background and then they have, like, light blue or a middle value blue text on top, and it makes it very hard to read? Well, you don't want to do that, because you want to make sure everybody can read your website easily. You want high contrast. Think white background, black text. Keep it simple. Don't do black background with, like, a middle value gray text on top. It might look arty and fun, but if it's hard for people to read, they're not going to stay around very long. I have some other tips in here about, you know, don't feel like you need to have the most animated, you know. It's fun to have all these different elements that spin and change. We always used to joke when we were doing website design, like, can I have a flaming logo or can I have a spinning logo? Like, it might be neat to you when you first see it, but to your user who's taking the time to let these elements download, it's probably not neat to them. And another thing about that is music. Now, a lot of blogs and websites, they're very excited about putting their favorite song or whatever that they're listening to that day on their blog. And I really discourage this, because most people are surfing the internet from work. And there's nothing more telltale than all of a sudden Celine Dion blaring out of your computer that you are surfing on the internet and you are not doing your work. So do not have music or anything like that in the background that's going to give your users away that they're surfing at work. I also have a link in here under layout and design tips for a place called browsershots.org. And this is great. You want to make sure that your website looks good in all different browsers and all different platforms. Just because you're on a PC and you're working in Internet Explorer doesn't mean everybody else is looking at your website in there. So ask your friends and family to test out your website. And go to browsershots.org. You just enter in your URL, and then it sends you all these screenshots of how your website looks on a Macintosh and Safari, how it looks on a PC and Firefox, and the list goes on and on. So you can see sometimes what you're seeing on your computer is not what everybody else is seeing, and that can be pretty disturbing, especially in website design. It's one of the bane of our existence if we're doing website design, because things can vary so much over different browser platforms. I would like to say something about Flash here in the layout and design tips. Flash can be a lot of fun. You can create cool graphics in Flash. You can do all kinds of neat user interfaces and things in Flash, but I really discourage having your entire website designed in Flash. For example, if you search Nike, I'm not talking about the links that are bought on Google, but the first website that comes up is usually not Nike, and that is because their entire website is in Flash, and search engines do not like Flash. And you want your website to come up when somebody Googles their name. So you want just regular HTML. You want a regular text in your website. You don't want all of your text hidden in a Flash website. I'm going to skip ahead to just some brief branding tips. You want to make sure that your name and logo are on every single page of your website, preferably in the same place on every single page. Because the internet is organic, just because you think everybody's coming in through the front page of your website doesn't mean that they are. Sometimes people might land on your links page. Sometimes people might land on your portfolio. They can come in on any page of your website. So you want to make sure no matter which page they come in that they can tell who you are. Make sure that it's easy for people to contact you. It's amazing how many websites that you go to and you have to work really hard to find an email address and a way to contact this person. I like to have a contact me button on in my navigation bar of my website, so that way they can click on that and they can get easy access to my email address. I also have a PO box that I list on there. I do not list my home address. And what else do I have on there? I think that's about it. Oh, and my rep. I put her information on there so that way people that are inquiring can contact her easily. Make sure that you do not have what we call mystery meet navigation. There are a lot of websites that are really arty and fun, but you have to, you know those ones where you have to like mouse around and you're like, oh wait, okay, over there is portfolio, and then you have to click on it. Again, do not make it hard for your viewers to find what they're looking for on your website. Just call your sections regular names, portfolio, about me, contact me, things like that. A little bit about writing for the internet. People, because most people are surfing at work, they do not take a lot of time to read on the internet. And the computer screen can be really hard on the eyes. So I always say, and I think the rule of thumb is to write about 50% less than you would normally write, like if you were typing something out for a letter or paper or something like that. People like short little paragraphs. And a little bit back to what Ariane said is, I think she mentioned this about search engines, searching your website. You want to make sure that in your text of your website, there are keywords of what you imagine people would be searching for. Like for me, on my commissioned artwork page, and I actually stopped calling it commissioned artwork because I found that people thought commission was like, you know, what realtors get when they sell a house. Like I asked my neighbor and she's like, what's a commission? So I was like, uh-oh, like regular people don't know what this is called. So I started calling it custom artwork, and I noticed that my search engine ranking went way up. And I repeat the word custom artwork over and over and over again, custom and personalized over and over and over again in my text. And as of a few days ago, I hope it's still up there, if you search custom artwork, I'm on the first page of Google, which I was like so excited about, which is hard to do, especially for free. That's not a paid link or anything. I'm going to skip ahead. Okay, on graphics and images, you want to make sure that your images are at 72 DPI, which is web resolution. You do not need to have images that are higher resolution than that. And I know that Joan talked a little bit about artists that are afraid to post their images to the internet and how some artists put, like, kooky code on there, you know, that says please do not download, like if you try to right click on it or something like that. Or they'll put all across their image, copyright, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of thing. I've started putting a small copyright Claudine Helmuth just down in the corner of my images because I am a little bit worried about this orphan works thing that's going on. So I do want to identify all my images. But I don't want to restrict people from downloading them, and I don't want to restrict people from being able to see what the actual artwork is like by having this copyright thing all across the middle of the image. If people are going to download your images at 72 DPI, like, good luck to them making a decent printout of them. 72 DPI is such low resolution. They would be lucky to get a 5x7 print out of it. And if you're not willing to put your artwork on the internet, but you're willing to put your artwork out there, like in the marketplace, people are still seeing it out in the marketplace. People can still copy it out in the marketplace. So unless you're going to, which I think, obviously, if you're on this call, you don't want to hide your artwork from the world. You want to get it out there. The only way to prevent people completely from copying you is to make your artwork and put it in your closet where nobody can see it. And none of us want to do that. We want to share our artwork with the world. So you really just do not worry about it. I don't worry about it. There's copiers everywhere. People are going to copy you. But as far as like somebody ripping off your artwork and printing it and selling prints of it from your website, it would be really hard for them to do at 72 DPI. And like Joan said, you would be passing up on people writing about you. I can't tell you how many people write about my work, and I don't even know about it until I get a Google alert. Now, let me talk for a second about Google alerts before I forget to mention it later. But let me finish this other thought. And because people can download my images, it makes it easy for people to blog and write articles about me. They're not having to email me for images. Now, Google alerts. You can go to Google, and you can type in a search term, and there's a little button on there that says, send me an alert about this, or something to that effect. And then you enter in your email address, and anytime something is mentioned, you will get email about it. So I enter in my name. And sometimes if I want to see about other things, like if I was on a TV show, I'll enter in, like when I was on Martha Stewart, I entered in Martha Stewart, so I could see what comes up if I'm mentioned. And through Google Alerts, I have found that so many wonderful, generous bloggers have blogged about my artwork, and then I go from my Google Alert to their blog, and I thank them directly for writing about me and writing about my work. It's great free publicity. I wouldn't want to pass it up. In my notes, I talk a little bit about search engines. And now search engines are like a whole art form. It is like a science. But do not ever pay those people that offer you to get you high in their search engine rankings for hundreds of dollars. Don't pay them. It's a waste of money. They're total scam artists. They're ripping you off. Do it yourself. I did not include this in the notes, so write this down. If you search Google for organic SEO, you will find a website that's all got how-tos in there for getting a higher search engine ranking, and it's all stuff that you can do yourself. And SEO stands for search engine optimization. So search Google for organic SEO. I think it might be organicseo.com, but don't quote me on that. Okay. Let's get to blogging. We've got about a half an hour left, and I want to make sure that I talk about blogging. And but first, I have a question here about websites. So I wanted to make sure that I covered that. I'm just making sure that I'm reading the right one. Okay, I've got a couple questions here about websites, so I'll just read those quickly. This one asked, what works best on a website? Is it enough to have large images, or are thumbnails that then enlarge necessary? And I think this person is obviously talking about having an artist portfolio where you would have little images that then you click on that enlarge to bigger images. And you know what? I think it is a good idea to have small thumbnails that enlarge to a bigger image. It gives your user the opportunity to not have to download all of your large images first before deciding which ones they want to look at. And we have to remember that not everybody is on high speed yet. There are still a lot of people on dial-up. So you want to make it easy for them to still see your website, and you want to optimize your website for people that are on dial-up. Okay, the next question is, I've heard two conflicting views of websites during the conference. I've seen artists handle their websites in a variety of ways. One friend I have has been successfully promoting and selling her artwork from her website for years and prolifically. Others use it as just an online portfolio. However, if you view your website as a portfolio or sales tool, do you think that having prices readily available to the viewer along with a checkout or a shopping cart is a good idea? Yes. I think it's a good idea. Why turn away a sale? have your iLink for me. I'm a little lazy, and I don't have a whole shopping cart involved in my website, so I did it the easy way. I post my artwork on a website that's called Etsy.com, and that's like Betsy without the B. And it's like an eBay, but there's no bidding. You just list your artwork, and it does the whole shopping cart for you. And there's lots of other artists on there. And so for me, I make sure that there are links to my Etsy website. I actually have a shopping link in my bottom nav bar for people to click on. I think it is a good idea to have your prices available. I mean, some people might disagree with me on this, but I think oftentimes if people see artwork without the prices, they often think that it's probably too expensive for them. So they will not even bother to email you to ask what the prices are, because I think that's just the perception. If they don't see the prices, they will just think that it's too expensive, or maybe they forget and they move on to something else. So it would be better to have it there. I'm all for selling your artwork any way you can. And I use my website both as an online portfolio. I sell my artwork through my website, and the main business through my website is selling my custom artworks through my website. So my website works for me in a variety of ways. Okay, this last question here about websites is this person wants me to clarify my point, and this is something I did not touch on my lecture, but it is in the notes. She asked me, would you clarify your point in the handout about creating a custom error page for people who misspell your name or site name? And we all have gone to a website and typed in the wrong URL. I'm taking a drink here. And then you get that 404 error, file not found, ugly looking page that pops up. That's like just the standard error page. Now, through your web hosting service, and this is something, it's different wherever you host your website, you will want to ask them how to create a custom error page. A lot of them will have that in their FAQ menu. And then you can create a custom design error page that says something like, oops, this page is no longer here. Click here to get back to my home page or something like that. So that way you keep them in your website and they just don't think that your website is missing or gone. Okay, that's all the website questions. Now, let me go on to blogging. Okay, now, if we already have a website, why on earth would we want a blog? And that was what I kept saying, too, about 3 years ago when I started my blog, when I finally gave in and I decided to start blogging along with everybody else. I thought, well, I don't really see, like, what good this is going to do me. But I have found different. It is a wonderful free PR tool to have a blog. And there are a couple basic reasons why a blog is so important, and that is the search engines love blogs. And one of the reasons that search engines love blogs so much is because they like updated content. So the little search engine spiders will come through every single day, and because you will update your blog every single day, you will get a higher search engine ranking. Blogging is also a great networking tool amongst artists. All these different artists who blog link to each other, and you get to know each other, so it's almost like a little community. When I started blogging, I started it just totally as a PR tool. I was going to treat it as just sort of like a what's new or what have I done in my studio kind of page. But it has turned into something that is much more social. And as somebody that works completely alone, as we all do as artists, I mean, sometimes I'll spend a whole week without having left my neighborhood, I find it a wonderful and exciting thing to be able to connect to all of these other artists through my blog. And as I mentioned earlier, many other bloggers like to write articles about other artists' bloggers. So you will get free write-ups about your art on other blogs, if you have a blog. Most of the time, the bloggers don't necessarily just write about other artists who only have websites. I have noticed an increase in my internet articles and internet PR just simply from having a blog, because other bloggers like to write about other bloggers, which is just wonderful. And I think the main thing that makes a blog so important is that it gives your audience a chance to get to know you. And they can really get to know you. Everybody's curious about what artists do. Like, you know, I call them, you know, regular civilians, like people that are not artists, that are not in our world, that don't understand how it works. They are so curious about how we create and what goes on in our lives and things like that. And it gives your audience a chance to get to know you better. And we all know when you get to know and you get to like somebody, you're much more likely to buy something from them, because you've created that trust factor with your audience and you've created that connection. So they're much more likely to spend money with you than with somebody that they've never met. So it's a wonderful, wonderful tool for your audience to get to know you and for you to get to know your audience, because they can post comments on your blog as well. Whenever I post up, it's like 99.9% of the time that I post up a custom artwork that I have just completed and I post it up on my blog, I almost always get at least one new order for a custom artwork from somebody else that it reminds them, oh yeah, I really wanted to order that custom artwork. And it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. That, or they'll see one that they really like, and so they'll write to me that now they're ready to order. So it's a great way to remind your buyers of your existence. And because you're going to update your blog a lot, they will come and visit you every day. So you will stay in the forefront of their mind, because they're coming to see, like, hey, what's she doing? What, you know, what's going on? What's happening with her in her studio? And so that way you stay in their mind. Because if they forget about you, they're not going to remember that they want to buy your work. So the whole goal, just like with email newsletters and things like that, is to keep your name in front of them. So keep them remembering you and your work and staying engaged in you and your work. Now, for those of you that don't know what a blog is or have never seen a blog is basically a website in which items are posted on a regular basis, and the most recent post is listed at the top. So it's kind of like a diary. Different people treat blogs in different ways. Some people treat their blog in a completely total business sense, so all that they post about are business things. Some people treat their blog in a very personal sense, and they post extremely personal things on their blogs. One very famous person who now makes thousands and thousands of dollars a month for posting very intimate details about her life is Deuce, D-O-O-C-E, I think it's Deuce.com, and she actually got laid off or fired from her job for posting about all of her coworkers and their intimate, gory details of the inner workings of their office. But then she became a very famous blogger, and now she has advertisers on her blog, and she makes money simply from posting about her life. Now, for me, what I like to blog about, sort of like my barometer of what I will blog about, is what I would tell a neighbor or somebody that I don't know all that well. So I don't really get all that personal, but I don't stick strictly to art either. This week, I've been talking a lot about my good friend that runs an animal rescue, and we're working hard to raise money for her animal rescue. I talk about TV shows that I like to watch. I like to watch Project Runway, which is, you know, that kind of touches on the artist topic. I talk about what I worked on in my studio. I'll talk about the weather, just different things that have happened, my pets. I talk about my pets a lot. But I never talk about religion or politics or anything like controversial or too personal. I find that that trying to strike this balance between talking about strictly art and some little bit of a window into my life has worked well for me and has created a connection with the people that come to my blog. When I post about things like watching Project Runway, I get a lot more comments than sometimes if I post just about something else, because people feel that they can add to the conversation because they have also watched the show, so we can create a little bit of a dialogue there. So you'll need to find what works best for you and what you really want to blog about. And give yourself a little bit of time. If you haven't already been blogging, what I suggest that you do is start your blog and then don't link it to your website. Don't tell anybody about it. Just kind of start blogging and get your sea legs, kind of get a feel for what topics you want to post about, how much you feel like writing, things like that. And then once, maybe after a month or two, you can link it up to your website, and then you'll feel more comfortable with people looking at it. I have skipped over here a little bit. There's a little bit earlier in my notes where I talk about blogging platforms. That would be different blogging tools that you would use, such as blogger.com, typepad.com, or WordPress. And there's lots of others. There's LiveJournal, which is less used. But you can check these out, and they're all just different blogging tools that you can use. No one is better than the other. I do use Blogger because it's free. I mean, how can you beat free? TypePad costs about $10 a month, and I believe that WordPress is also free. So you can kind of take a look around. They're all much of the same as far as user friendliness, and some people feel very strongly about one or the other, but I think they're all about the same. So you just pick one. And if you're not sure if you're going to keep blogging, I would start with a free one, because then if you don't keep it up, you won't feel really guilty. Now, you can use your blog instead of a website. So if you don't want to be bothered with setting up a website or dealing with all that, you can use your blog. It does look slightly less professional, but it is better than nothing. It's better than not having anything out there on the internet. You can have your URL, like yourname.com, forward to your blog address. So that is a great solution. Some of my artist friends that just can't take the time and don't want to spend the money to have a designer design a website for them, this works for them, and they're at least able to have a web presence out there, which is more important than not having anything. So that is something to think about. One of the things that a lot of people ask me is, how much should I write in my blog? And I think a lot of people feel like they have to write a lot of, like they have to do like a dissertation every day on their blog, or that they have to write something really profound. And thinking that way, you're going to end up not wanting to blog, because it's going to become this big chore, and you're going to get all worked up about, what am I going to say, and is it going to be important enough? Some days I just write, I'm too tired to blog, or I'll blog more tomorrow. So at least I've posted, so people know that I've updated. One day this week I wrote about what I ate that day. Now, you wonder, like, why would people even be interested in that? But it seems they are. And then I got a big lecture from my mom on my lack of good diet for that day, that I had only eaten 2 mozzarella cheese sticks. But it just kind of gives a little something to post about. One of my friends who blogs, she'll every once in a while she'll ask, like, her other bloggers that are reading her blog to post what they had for lunch, and that she'll enter them into a drawing for if they post what they had for lunch in her comments to that post, she'll enter them into a drawing for a print of her artwork. So that's a great way to create some buzz and get people checking your blog. People love things for free, so the idea of getting something for free. But I post, like, it varies. Sometimes I'll post a long post, and when I say a long post, I only mean like 2 or 3 paragraphs. That's all people have time to read. especially on the internet. They're just taking a little bit of time to read. You don't want to give them, it doesn't have to be this big long page of text. Most of the times, if you have a lot of blogs like TypePad, will have where you start a post and then it'll say, like, click here to finish this post. I would say probably 90% of readers don't even click that button because it takes extra work for them to click that button unless they're really engaged in that post. So I just put your whole post out there for them to read, make it easy for them to read, and don't think that you have to write a big long entry every single day. You can vary it up, a couple short entries, a couple long entries. Maybe just post a picture of your studio that day. This is what my studio looks like today. This is what I was working on in my studio today, something like that. So it doesn't have to be anything long, or it's not like you're writing an English paper. Blogs are very much less formal than a website. It's more like you're having a conversation with your readers. The number one reason that most blogs fail is infrequent posting. And it's kind of like that New Year's resolution that you start off with where you're like, I'm gonna jog every single morning. And when you start off blogging, you think, I'm gonna blog every single day. Well, and then maybe you life kind of gets busy, and then you maybe go a week without blogging, and then you feel guilty that you've gone a week without blogging and that there's so much that you have to catch your readers up on. So then you're like, oh, now I don't want to blog. And then you go another week without blogging, and then your readers are coming to your blog going, she hasn't updated in a couple weeks. And then you start to fall off their radar, because if they keep coming back to your blog and they keep seeing the same post from 2007, they're going to decide, well, she never really updates. I won't check in here for a long time. And then you're lucky if they ever remember to come back. So the most important thing about blogging, not even having an attractive blog, or not even doing any of these design tips, is updating. Update at least every weekday, Monday through Friday. If you skip like one day every once in a while, then that's okay. But like, get your readers feeling like you update regularly so they know they can check in and there will be something new up there. That is the most important thing about blogging. And from that, people will come and visit and you will get buzz about your artwork and you will establish an audience that visits you every single day. Now, everybody asks me, how do I promote my blog? Because once you've started your blog, you want people to find it. Well, obviously, you would want to link it from your website when you're ready. You'd want it on your business cards. You'd want on your letterhead. You'd want it when you're using press releases, things like that. You'd want it in your email, in your signature file. And if you do not have an email signature file already, you need to get one, and that is those few lines of text at the end of your email that say something like, Sally Jones, mixed media landscape painter, SallyJones.com, and then link to your blog as well. So that way, every single email that you send out has this information in it. And you'd be surprised how many people click on the SIG files in your emails. One of the best ways.
Hi, Claudine. I'm sorry to break into you, but.
Oh, I see that we still have 5 minutes. No?
Well, my clock says it's 2:35.
Yeah.
So you were going to take an hour?
No, I thought it was. Oh, oops. See, I am a natural blonde.
They are supposed to get a 15-minute break.
Oh,
but I'm thinking that maybe they're going to be willing to take less of a break because the information is so great. So
I just have a couple more things to touch on.
Fine,
and I'll just take 5 minutes.
That's fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. So one of the best ways to get readers to your blog is to comment and to comment on other people's blogs. And so go around to all the blogs that you like and comment, but comment something meaningful. Don't just say, hey, check out my blog, because that's the equivalent of spam. So go around, and if you see an artist blog that you like, make an insightful comment about their artwork. And one way to find a whole bunch of artists for you to leave comments on their blogs is through a website called illustrationfriday.com. And every week, illustrators and artists post up new artworks on there to a specific theme, and there are hundreds and hundreds of hundreds. So that will be a good way for you to make friends. Also in my notes, I have other things in here like links and specialty blogs. I talk about places like Technorati, which is a place that lists blogs, and you can go on there, create a username, and list your blog on there. And one last thing that I want to say, it's in your notes, but I just want to say it out loud for you guys. Comments on your own blog, receiving comments. Well, first of all, you have to get comments. You have to give comments to get comments, but don't lose heart about not getting comments. A lot of bloggers blog and then they get sad that they're not getting any comments on their post. They're seeing zero comments on there. Don't take that as that you are not having readers reading your blog. Only about 10% of blog readers actually take the time to comment. Many people like to read your blog, but they just don't feel like they have anything to say or to add into your comments. Sometimes I'll have 40 comments to a post. Sometimes I'll have zero. So don't feel like just because you're blogging and you're not getting any comments to your post doesn't mean that your blog is not successful. So I hope I've been able to give you a lot of information about websites and blogging. And you can email me with some questions if you have them, or send them to Ariane, and I will try to get to them answer your questions, further questions from there. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Claudine, amazing. Your presentations are consistently over the top with gold star material.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I thought it was, I don't know what I thought. I thought I started it too.
No, it's no problem. I think Smartest is really lucky to have you. For those of you who joined us in the middle, you are on day 6 of the Smartest Telesummit 2008. We've just heard Claudine Helmuth's presentation on website and blogging. And now we are going to take a very short 6-minute break, and we're going to come back for Michael Bungie Stanier, who's going to show you how to color your business outside the lines. See you in 6 minutes, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.